Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, you're listening to the Technology Equals Equality Podcast.
Welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality Podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 62. Have you ever wanted to get more clients? Do you wish you could charge clients what you're really worth? Wouldn't it be great if prospects could just see how different you are from the competition? Listen in as our next guest has taken a moment from her extremely busy schedule to share insight on how to begin finding your X factor. Isabel Mercer Turcoit is a no-nonsense gal born to catapult passionate entrepreneurs to build infectious and impactful brands, businesses, and lives. As one of North America's top small business influencers, TEDx speaker, best-selling author, and TV show host, Isabel's sole purpose is to empower 1 million entrepreneurs to rock their business and lives into shape by creating a worldwide My Life, My Biz, My Way movement. Isabel, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay.
We would love to know a story of how it is you once saw the future before you really decided to begin branding yourself and building out your business.
Wow, okay. What a way to start. Oh my God, there are so many stories. You know, I was raised by entrepreneurial parents. Mm-hmm. My dad was worked in radio and television, and my mom was a hairdresser, so she had her own business. And I remember going to school, obviously, and could not wait to come back home so I can actually work with my mom and be with her clients and serve her clients and draw. I'm an artist, so I would draw hairstyles and I would talk. And my mom would always say, you know, hey, Isabel, why don't you go play outside with your friends, you know? And I just wanted to be with her, with people that are much older than I am, because I learned, I've always had friends that are much older than I am. And I just, you know, I love to be of service. I love to create impact. And I've loved that from the time that I was in diapers. And I remember 9 years old, working at my mom's salon, getting a $2 paycheck at the end of the week, and having started pay for my schooling really early, like understanding the value of money, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. It's that's kind of how my entrepreneurial debuts.
Definitely. So you're a brand strategist and a business performance catalyst. Can you share with us a little bit about what that means and what were some of the first steps that you took when you really decided it was time to go ahead and, you know, venture out into your own entrepreneurial journey?
Mm-hmm. Well, I built my first business right out of my teens. So I've always been an entrepreneur. So to begin with, you know, my first business was a graphic design and a branding agency right out of my teens. And, my aunt once said to me, Isabel, you're so courageous to start your own business. And my reply to her was, wow, I would have needed more courage for me to get a job rather than be an entrepreneur. And I have nothing against, you know, people with jobs and having a job. It's just not for me.
Right.
And so I was always too innovative, too full of piss and vinegar, basically. I'm basically unemployable. So what is a brand strategist and what is a business performance catalyst? Well, basically what I do is I help from small business owners all the way to large corporations, but I help them differentiate themselves so that their clients and their prospects would say, I would be a fool to work with anyone else but you, regardless of price. So I basically help people understand and own what makes them different. Mm-hmm. I help them with building a brand, and I don't mean, although a logo and a website are important to a brand, but that is not the totality of a brand. So
right.
I teach people what branding truly is, what it isn't, how it can make you or break you, And what are the key ingredients that are needed to be in place to build a brand and build a business that is engineered to thrive, that is engineered to allow you to create more freedom, the ability to generate money, and the ability to generate more impact. That's what I do.
That's awesome. How do you go about helping someone nail that, nail down that competitive edge, nail down, you know, what that differentiator is for themselves?
Yeah, it definitely is a process. And one cannot do that on their own self, not even me. This is what I do for a living. And I have people who help me figure out and own what my key differentiators are. Now, I have, you know, 25 years experience in doing that. But when you're in the frame, you cannot see the picture, right? So a couple of ways in which we do that is, first of all, we have an online program called Built to Rock. And it's a program that is designed for small business owners who can't afford a one-on-one process yet, and who are starting or who are, you know, kind of struggling with, it's not as easy for them to attract the right clients, and they're working really, really hard, yet the money in the bank account and the fulfillment level isn't as high as the exhaustion level, for example, right? So, well, I have a program that's called, Built to Rock, and you can, it's by application only, and I'm very involved in the program. And there's a process that I explain in this program to really help people nail this down. And I will give you two tips to get started on that after I tell you the second step, or not the second step, but the second way that I help my clients. And that is through private or group retreats here. I live on Vancouver Island in the Neuse Bay, and I own a small business retreat center. And I basically take people out of their natural habitat. I bring them with me, and we spend 2 to 3 to 5 days working on these things, me looking under the hood and ensuring that your business is set up to thrive, that you've got all the ingredients so that you can not only have fun in your business and generate more money, but also generate leverage. You know, at some point, there's so much hours we have in a day, that therefore, if all your eggs are dependent on how much amount of time you work, then eventually you'll get overtired, and that's not going to help you, right? But so to help more concretely, what I do is I have my clients make a few lists, and this is, your listeners can do this on their own. Make a list of all the things that you are really, really, really good at, that people tell you that you help them with, that people thank you. And even if you think that it's pedantic, even if you think that it's like, ugh, not really ideal or not really unique, put it down anyway. So what are you really, really good at? What do people tell you you're good at? And then make a list of all the problems that your ideal clients have, top of mind problems. And then put a list, create a list of all the industry problems. So if you're a coach, well, in the coaching industry, what are the perceptions, negative perceptions? What are the problems that most coaches or clients of coaches would experience? And then, so that's the difference between the industry problems and the top of mind problems of your clients. So your clients, your ideal clients, not just any clients, your ideal clients, the people that you want to help most and that you're best suited to help, what are their top of mind problems? And then when you have those four columns written out, I write those out on a wall with post-its, and I write it one thought per post-it so that I can move my thoughts around on the wall. And then I look at that with a brand strategist's eyes, of course, but for you, you'd be able to start clustering things. Like, for example, I'll give you a concrete example. A client of mine is a realtor. Her previous life, though, she was a private investigator. Well, I learned that just because I was curious. I'm like, why are you so detail-oriented in what you do? I mean, she's innovated and rejigged the industry of real estate by just the way she does deliver her genius. And as a result of her being a private investigator, obviously her past traits and her past qualities and work that she used to do, she brought that in to her job today. And that makes her very unique at what she does. It makes her process very unique. And we created a seven-step process for her that has now become her X factor, the thing that the tipping point as to why people would choose her over the other million and a bit real estate in our neck of the woods, right? Does that make sense, Lori?
Totally. And I actually just want to back it up for the listeners, what you were saying, really creating those lists. But to break those lists down, it's lists of things that you're good at, list of things that other people tell you you're good at. And I love that piece because I don't think we've actually heard anyone on the show kind of bring that in as something to really think about. It's yes, there's things that people are good at, but things that other people happen to mention to you on a regular basis. You know, what is it that they notice that you're good at? Not just something that you enjoy doing, but then kind of breaking down also the two lists on industry versus top of mind problems and making sure that you're looking at those two as different aspects. And I think the way that you are laying it out on a whiteboard, creating those lists that are maneuverable, is probably a really easy way for anyone to pick up a couple of post-it notes, create that list, and maneuver through it. I love the way the realtor was able to create her own X factor by bringing in her past and present abilities that she has had throughout life. And we've seen that in a lot of other stories and journeys of entrepreneurs who really kind of take past and present, you know, something that they've been working on or doing for many years, but then a passion that they have that they can apply those skills to and kind of create their own X factor in their own industry. So no, that totally makes sense. I love that. What do you feel was really the key to your success, Isabel? Do you feel it was, you know, maintaining a positive mindset? Or do you feel it was, you know, when you created your own X factor? What was it, do you feel, was the ticket to your success with LeapZone?
Okay, there's definitely a few things. One of them is that I live and operate by design, not by default. So I build everything I do has to be around what I want, how I want it, and why I want it a certain way. So a lot of people, you know, whether it's a brand, whether it's a business, whether it's, you know, you as a person, people are going to always want specific things out of you or from you. And it's either people are going to put a brand onto you or you're going to actually create your own brand. So everything I do is based on what is it that I want? Why is it that I want that? What does it allow me to do? So all the opportunities that come my way, the reason why I choose to take forward or to move forward with an opportunity or not, is I funnel this, I funnel all opportunities, whether good or bad, I funnel them into three categories. How much impact it would allow me to create, how much fun and fulfillment I will experience and others will experience as a result of it, and how profitable this opportunity can be for me. And by profitability, I don't just mean money. You can be rich of time, you can be rich of skills, you can be rich of money. There's a variety of things. But it decisions to me are based on a hell yes or they're a no. They're right. A hell yes or a no.
Right.
So
right.
If all opportunities go through my funnel, and it ends up being a hell yes on all of these three categories, then it's a hell yes. And I don't know, Lori, if you've watched my TEDx talk, but it's all about the power of zero tolerance.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that mixed with what I just said, living by design, not by default, understanding that it has to be hell yes or it's no, and understanding that zero tolerance leads to a life of fulfillment and a life of less worry and more peace of mind. And what that means is, you know, if you worry a lot in your life, stop trying to worry less and just look at what you're tolerating, because everything you are worrying about is directly linked with something that you're tolerating, period.
I love that. And I think that actually may be the quote we pull from here. Stop worrying and start focusing on what it is you're tolerating. I love the disciplined approach that you have. And I think that's something that a lot of entrepreneurs should really take into consideration when it comes to making those decisions as to whether or not it's worth you're making that decision in business, whether or not something's going to really assist you along the way, or, you know, really kind of take away from what it is you're doing overall, to sort it out into the amount of impact, fun and fulfillment, and profitability. Those are great categories.
And the one thing that I would say is how I actually got to that is that, I tell this story in my TEDx talk. I was 9 years old and I was being bullied as a child, and mm-hmm. I had to put a stop to that, and I had to say no to something that I did not want. But it's hard to say no to things we don't want. It's even harder to say no to things we want, right, and that might not be of impact or you know, fulfillment for us. And so my mom said to me, "Isabel, if you can't say no to what you don't want, you'll never have the time and you'll never have the energy for what you do want." And that was the catalyst for me to learn to say no more than I say yes. And that doesn't mean I'm not flexible. Doesn't mean I'm not generous. It means that I know what I'm willing and not willing to do to get from here to there. And nothing gets into my life, into my home, and into my schedule if it's not a hell yes.
I absolutely love that. And I just love the way you approach business overall. You're so energetic and so passionate about what you do, and it bleeds through and through every bit of what you do, Isabel.
Thank you.
What do you feel a brand promise is? What's the importance of having one?
Okay, first of all, a brand promise, I'll give you the definition of a brand promise. The brand promise is your measurable accountability. It's what bridges your genius and a lack in your industry or a lack with your clients. For example, at LeapZone, my promise is to promise clarity, pivotal shifts, and momentum. That happens to be what I'm really, really great at. It also happens to be what small business owners need the most. And I said it's a measurable accountability. So I need to be sure that every day, every interview that I give, every client coaching session that I have, every program that I put out there, I need to make sure that it delivers on this promise. Mm-hmm. Clarity, pivotal shifts, and momentum. And I need to have ways to measure that, to ensure that I'm actually delivering on it. And there's a company in Canada called, I believe they're called Provident Security. It's a security company. And you know your keypad in your house when you hire a security company, and if your alarm goes off, that the industry standards, Lori, you're not going to believe this, but if your keypad goes off in your home because there's a burglar in your house, the industry police standard is between, the response time is between 2 to 2.5 hours.
Wow.
So, I don't know, but you could actually serve dinner 5 times to this particular burglar. And the very company that you're paying, their regular response time is between 30 minutes and 1.5 hours. Again, you could be hurt many, many times over in 30 minutes. So this company, Provident Security, his name is Mike Jagger, He was young and he wanted to start a new company, and he saw a gap in the market. He went, oh my God, everybody expects immediate help and they get it at 30 minutes minimum all the way to 2.5 hours. That is ridiculous. So, by the way, when I say that is ridiculous, this is an opportunity. Every time you roll your eyes, every time you go, this is so stupid, I can't even believe people are making money delivering shit like this. That is a perfect opportunity to create a kick-ass brand promise or to innovate something in your industry. So he created his 5-minute promise delivery time, 5 minutes in a sea of 30 minutes to 2.5 hours.
Wow.
As a result of that, he is the fastest growing security company in North America. And his ads on Facebook say this: are you paying enough for your security company? So it's mandatory to have a brand promise, and you got to own it. You got to know what it is. And in fact, branding is all about these key ingredients: your mission, your vision, your brand promise, your X factor, and your wow factor. And the brand promise is one key element out of all of these key elements, right? And it's not your key differentiator, but it's definitely a tipping point for people to want to work with you rather than Joe. And according to them, Joe and you do the same thing. right?
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. What do you feel is one of the bigger mistakes entrepreneurs tend to make as they begin building out their business, as they begin formulating their brand promise and their mission and their vision? What do you feel is one of the larger mistakes entrepreneurs tend to make?
There's a few, definitely, but the largest one I would say is they tolerate excuses from themselves that are these: I don't have the money for a mentor or something to help me right now, or I don't have the time, or I think I can do it on my own. It's not, you're not being a hero by doing it on your own, actually. You're being a hero by having the right mentorship and the right coaching to help you do it. If you want to build a business and take 10 years to build it mediocrely and end up feeling overwhelmed, overworked, and underpaid, then do it yourself and have at her. But if you want to build a business that you're going to be able to pay yourself sooner than later, immediately for that fact, that you're going to be able to be differentiated in a sea of sameness, and then you're going to be able to leverage your time and yourself to create a business that is, and a brand that is more profitable than what you thought, then you need to invest time and money in having the right mentorship. That's the one thing, Lori, that I did really well when I was young, when I first started my business. Mm-hmm. Coaching wasn't even in fashion. It didn't even really exist, let alone being in fashion. Today, coaching is a staple. However, then it wasn't. And I knew that I was really good at my craft, but I also knew that building a business requires different skills and different assets than it did for me to deliver my genius. And I hired a coach. I've had a coach since day one. It's been a few different coaches along the way. And I have many coaches for different things. And that is, when I hear someone that says, I don't have the money for that right now, especially for a program like Built to Rock, for example. Okay. Built to Rock is $2,400. I'm saying to you, if you don't have the willingness and the mean, where there's a will, there's a way, right? If you can't put together $2,400 to help you make $25,000 as a result of being set up properly or triple your income, then I say quit this thing right now and go work at McDonald's, because this is the least amount of money and the most amount of return that you'll ever get from someone who's been there, done that. The reason why I'm so successful is I hang out with more successful people than I am, and I'm coached by people who have been where I want to be, period.
I think you're right. Tolerating personal excuses, taking a look at yourself and your habits and those things that you could be using as that crutch to hold yourself back is really one of the bigger things that I feel definitely held me back in the beginning and has held back a number of different entrepreneurs that I've witnessed throughout the years, just kind of building out my own business. I would agree in terms of getting a coach or a consultant. I know that prior to doing so for myself, there was a very slow moving period with figuring out what it is I wanted to do, where it was I was taking things. And it really does take someone else who's been there to help guide you through those areas and to help you get there a lot quicker than you would on your own. Like you said, it can take a very long time if you're just attempting to do it all by yourself.
And not only that, but most small business owners don't know what it looks like and feels like to actually have a business and a brand that's engineered to succeed.
Right.
You know, they've heard things like you can't pay yourself for the first 5 years of your business. They've heard things like, oh, it's normal to not charge your full value immediately because you're building your business. I mean, those are all, I say to people, hey, listen, you don't have to build your business based on other people's inability to be the best that they can be or to innovate in their industry, right? So I'm very categorical with how I speak because it's the truth. You know, I help people build their business the way they want to, build their brands the way they want to, based on their genius, based on the impact that they want to create, and based on the level of fulfillment that they want to create for themselves and for people around them.
So, Isabel, do you have a tip, a trick, or a favorite application even that you kind of use on a daily basis to help yourself get organized or move forward with with business on a daily that you can share with the audience?
Oh, absolutely. Oh my God, where to start? I'm going to share a favorite book, and I'm going to share a favorite app. And a favorite, so I'll share three things.
Go for it.
Okay. So first of all, one of the things that I do really well and that I teach people to do is to create a schedule of bubble time. So if, and I'm going to give you a link, Lori, that you can actually share with your community and your listeners about how to create bubble time for yourself. This will triple your amount of efficiency and productivity. And it's all about scheduling. Most successful people don't have to-do lists. They have a very strict schedule. And by strict, I don't mean it's not flexible. I just mean it's very well organized. So everything I do is scheduled in my calendar like it would, like an appointment would be. And I treat myself like my own best client. So the fact that we are on in an interview right now, your phone has rang, probably my phone has rang. People want to talk to me, they want to talk to you. I'm not available, I'm with you. But if I was working on my own business, most people would take the phone or book an appointment in the slot that they would be scheduled to work on their own stuff.
Yes.
Why is it that we do that, right?
Yes.
That's just ridiculous. Yes. So first, I teach people how to treat themselves like their own best client, like their own, you know, best $250,000 best client.
Right.
And then I teach them how to do bubble time. Now, the second thing is the app, my favorite app in the whole wide world. I'm dyslexic, so I don't like to type. I don't like to text. I like to speak. So it's much easier. So I use the app Voxer. It turns your smartphone into a little walkie-talkie. All my clients are on Voxer with me. All my suppliers are on Voxers with me. The coaches that coach with me are on Voxer. My admin assistant is on Voxer. So basically, we send each other audio notes, and it's so easy. It could be, I could be in the car, I could be anywhere, and I just send audio notes for people. It allows me to be effective. It allows everybody to hear what I need and by when I need it by. So that is very brilliant of an app. I wouldn't live without it. And my favorite book is Essentialism by Greg McKeown. Essentialism is all about the power of less but better, and it's about organizing your life and in your business in an essential way to experience more peace of mind and less worry. And it ties in, I was raised as an essentialist, and that book will change your life for the better, I guarantee you.
Sounds very interesting. I have not come across that one yet. So thank you for sharing. I love the idea of Voxer. I actually teach all of my clients to use voice notes as well. It's just simpler. It's just that much simpler. On top of that, I teach them not just to use the audio notes between, you know, communication with one another, but, you know, post appointments when, because I consult with financial advisors. So post appointment, when you're sitting down with a client, instead of attempting to take all of those notes down and distract yourself during that conversation, you know, if you jot down or take those audio notes immediately after the appointment, very similar. And I love the bubble time, and I love your name for the bubble time. I think that's cute. And that's actually, you know, it's adorable. I love it. And it's important to structure that time throughout your week, throughout your day. And part of that structure is to put in those pieces post appointment to record those audio notes, you know, making sure that that's actually scheduled into your calendar so it's not something you're missing.
Yeah, but, and a lot of people think that structuring a calendar, you know, I work with a lot of creative people, so they're like, oh, I don't want to be so scheduled. I want to be more spontaneous. I want to experience more freedom. Freedom, people, comes from structure.
Exactly.
Freedom comes from systems and structure. If you want more freedom, then become more structured and systematized, and you will get more freedom, period.
Definitely. The show is really designed to go ahead and share, you know, the journey of an entrepreneur, what it is that's helped you get there, you know, difficulties that you've dealt with throughout the way, but it's also to help solve a pain in an industry. So we'd love to be able to help you. And we'd like to know, if in fact you had a magic wand and could change anything at all in your business right now, what would it be and why?
I would somehow organize for my Bildungsauftrag program to be known across the world in an evergreen way. So, for example, right now I need to promote it through webinar, I need to promote it through a whole bunch of different marketing mediums. I would like to have that process more automated so that I am not bottlenecking the process of enrolling people in my Build to Rock program so that more people can create the impact and reap the benefit that this program brings to the small business community. So if I had a magic wand, I would have a couple hundred people in my program at all times, in small groups, obviously, because I like to give a lot of attention to each of my small groups. But I would have a magic wand to automate and systematize that process better than it is right now so that I don't bottleneck it.
Nice, I love it. So hopefully we have someone out there who is a master at building out funnels and automating the entire consulting process. So hopefully we have a listener who will reach out and be able to assist you in that. Please share the best way for our listeners to find you.
Best way to find me would be a couple places. Buildtorock.com is my Build to Rock program, and you can reach me at leapzonestrategies.com. And of course, I've got a Facebook group called Build to Rock. So I'm easy to find, really. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter. Twitter, my handle is LeapZone. But LeapZone Strategies is by far probably the easiest and best place to reach me.
Isabel, you've been absolutely lovely today, and we thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome, Lori, anytime.
If you're ready to discover your X factor and rock out your business, reach out to Isabel at leapzonestrategies.com. You can find links to all of the resources, tools, and information in this episode through our show notes page at technology-equality.com/Isabel. Thank you once again for hanging out with us here for episode 62. Until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.